Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman. Unsportsmanlike.
So, CeCe, I was trying to get your thoughts on something here with the Celtics. So what do you think?
Oh.
No, so that's a good point. Yeah.
Oh, you think Jason Tatum is awesome? Oh, CeCe, what was that? You love Jason Tatum's comments last night?
And you like the Jets better than the Giants? Really? I didn't know you thought Anthony Edwards shouldn't come off the bench for the Timberwolves.
Canty, say nothing if you're going to pay us all $500.
Great.
Great, yep.
Where did love go?
I can't believe y'all did that to me.
I can't believe you showed up about 10 minutes late.
I was accosted in the hallway. Accosted. It wasn't my fault.
I want the security footage. Yeah.
Too bad you're not big enough to break away.
I want to know what was happening over there.
I told you what happened.
You made it seem like 17 people stopped
you. My word is not good enough.
Don't do that to me.
No, I'm just asking a question. If I told you it went down a certain way.
How do you go there?
My word is not good enough for you?
You couldn't overpower Hembo?
Yeah, good thing you're
good
not.
Good one.
It wasn't just Hembo. It was David McKinnon, it was Tatiana, they were both from First Take. I was getting bombarded with questions about Jason Tatum, and y'all know how fired up I was about Tatum this morning.
Do investigative reporting.
Tell them to listen to the podcast.
Available on the ESPN app or wherever podcasts are found. We were at a great podcast?
Podcast.
A podcast. We were at a podcast conference
podcast?
Yesterday. It was awesome. Greeny was there, did a tremendous, he was so good. Greeny just hosting this event. Greeny was put on the spot, though, about an NHL question. That was fascinating to watch. Greeny's like, I don't know who the heck you're talking about. It was an NHL draft question.
Oh, okay.
Because the number one pick of the NHL draft this year is the son of someone that works, I think, in the performance department, like the sports science performance department for the Golden State Warriors. And I believe this guy was taken by the San Jose Sharks.
Well, no, they got the number one
pick.
They
had the lottery this week, and the Sharks had the number one.
Well, he's going to take that guy.
Yes,
they're going to take that guy, right? Okay. And Greeny, I think, was asked about him just randomly. And it's like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you about that.
Pat applied to be in the
draft. I applied.
Did you get in?
They never emailed me back. But, you know, I'm still hopeful.
You think you may get drafted there, Pat?
I think the Blues could use me. I'm great in the room, you know. Veteran presence. In the locker room.
Are you a glue guy?
Yeah, huge glue guy. I can't skate, but I think I'd be good still.
I don't know if you're a glue guy.
They could use me.
You're kind of a contrarian.
Oh, because things are going so great in St. Louis, they couldn't use me?
Listen, they are not.
Wow.
They are not for either of my teams.
It couldn't get worse if they drafted me. That's all I'm saying.
Pretty brutal for your girl over here. My sports existence really stinks right now.
Go for it.
The Blues, not great. The Cardinals, honestly, rock bottom. I haven't felt this apathetic about the St. Louis Cardinals quite literally in my lifetime. And they have Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt on the team. Like, what are we doing? Also, I have no football team and no NBA
team. But I think this is the perfect time for you to jump on the bandwagon with one of the front-runner teams. Like, this would be a perfect time for you to get involved with the T-Wolves.
Pulling Evan?
Pulling Evan.
I have nothing to do with this.
Perfect time for you to jump and get involved with, like, somebody like the Chiefs or somebody like that.
Not the Chiefs. Yeah.
Why not?
No.
I mean, one of their best players is dating Taylor Swift.
Pass.
You're all about the culture. Why not jump and get involved?
I'm all about the Swifty culture.
The Swifty culture.
I'm not a Swifty. I respect her and everything she's accomplished.
Oh, boy. Here you go.
Oh, boy.
But I'm not a Swifty.
You're not a Swifty.
I'm not a Swifty. No, because I think...
You were excited about Taylor Swift dating Travis Kelce, though.
Because I love.
Okay.
But I think that it would be disrespectful to call myself a Swiftie because I'm not as locked in as these Swifties are. They take that designation very seriously, and I'm just not there.
You're like a radio Swiftie. Like, if it comes on the radio, you fire it up, but you're not, like, seeking it out.
I think I like two or three songs.
Yeah, that's a radio Swiftie.
She's a very talented artist.
Yeah.
But
I heard her latest album is even a stretch for the Swifties, though.
I listened to it, and
again, tortured poets department was torture.
Oh my God.
Lyrically very strong, but I literally thought it was the same song the entire time. I was, because you know she does everything purposefully. I'm like, is there a reason for this that's like just over my head because I'm not a Swiftie? I've yet to get an answer.
Was it like that Andre 3000 album that wasn't
the
really,
jazz flute? Yeah, exactly. Remember we listened to it in the really, makeup room that
it was
one
a rap album where there was no rap?
Yeah.
I think her song Florida is great.
Florida.
I think it's great.
Do you?
Say Florida again?
Florida. How am I? I still don't
just
actually
add an
understand
extra syllable
how I'm saying it.
Florida. You say Florida.
Yeah, it sounds like he's saying that the phonetic version is F-L-A-W-R-I-D-A.
Florida.
Florida. Florida.
By the way, back to that event for a second. So there was a moment we had to walk out on this stage.
Oh, no.
She was so afraid because she was so nervous. We had to walk in front of people that she was going to trip. So she's literally there consulting with multiple people. Where do I walk? Or do I go this
There's
way?
There's all these wires on the
and
floor.
And I'm like, just
you
walk
know me.
Out
I know exactly,
there.
Yeah. You know
I'm
me.
I'm with you on that one.
But she just
I was
like,
in heels?
Everyone had to help her walk in a certain direction.
No, they didn't.
Do I go here? Do I go there?
You're exaggerating.
And then she stopped in the wrong spot, and I had to move her around to the other side.
Well, because Craig said, go to my left, but then Greeny went to his left, so we had to go around the desk. We just had to call an audible. We made adjustments.
And then
the Boston
there was,
Celtics
then,
did not.
Then
you know?
There was someone who plugged in a phone with a charger right in front of where we were walking, and she started freaking out because there was going to be a wire that she was going to have to step over.
I did not freak out. I didn't even know about that.
I'll tell you, I've never
He's
seen
ridiculous.
Somebody so openly clumsy and nervous about the clumsiness as Michelle Smallman.
Well, I have self-awareness. I know who I am. I'm a clumsy girl. And this was a big event. I did not want to embarrass our show. I did it for us.
Did you embarrass our show at the school yesterday in any way, shape, or form?
I did not, actually. Mm. I had a great time at the George Jackson Academy on the Lower East Side. Shout out to Principal Ramon Javier and the students. Interestingly enough, we were at recess shooting some hoops.
We were at recess.
We were at
like
recess.
He was in third grade yesterday.
Recess is fun, too.
Really. Oh, I miss
my,
recess.
When my
kids
come.
Kids,
let me just say
awesome.
Something on this. Awesome. My kids come home. My son is 10, my daughter is 7. They come home from school. Getting anything out of them is impossible, but how was school? What were your favorite parts of school? Lunch, recess, and dismissal. Okay, great. I get absolutely nothing from them. Okay, go ahead.
No, it was awesome, though. Like having a chance to relive my childhood to some degree. But we were just shooting some hoops, and I was asking the kids, you know, who are their favorite basketball teams? Are they watching the NBA playoffs? And this kid, Kaiser, was like, yeah, you know, I'm a Lakers fan, but right now, I'm all in on Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves. I think they're going to win it all. And I'm just sitting there thinking
you
about
sure
it.
You don't have a son?
Wow.
That's you.
Wow.
That's Chris Canty Jr.
So this is a kid in New York saying this?
That's my whole point. It's a kid in New York when the Knicks are in the second round of the playoffs, and he's like, I'm all in on Ant-Man and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Said no kid from New York ever.
So that,
you're wrong about that.
Before this, well, I guess Stephon Marbury maybe once upon a time.
That feels like the Jordan vibe of this that we're talking about. That he's so electric and you love his game so much that you're willing to abandon your fandom to buy his jersey and cheer for that guy. That was what Michael Jordan was when I was a kid. Everybody had their team, but we all loved Jordan.
Yes, but I don't think you're assessing the modern day current kid sports fan properly in this regard.
Maybe that's fair. I do not have kids.
No, I'm going to tell you. So these kids are fans of the players. They're not fans of the teams. So if they're a huge LeBron fan, there are kids that would be fans of the Cavs, Heat, and Lakers over the last decade plus. They go with the player, not with the team. They don't care about the team as much as the player.
I think the kids following Kevin Durant are exhausted by now.
Well, Clinton Yates throwing out the idea that LeBron should play for every team
so
is brilliant.
So which team is KD on?
Their closet's full.
Well, what color are the new sneakers going to be again?
But I love how Chris Canty,
Lakers
fan.
Like, I will
fan,
not buy you another jersey. No.
Chris Canty, Lakers fan from New York, is amazed that a kid, while the Knicks are in the playoffs, remember he grew up in the 90s, is a fan of the Lakers and then turns to the Timberwolves. As somebody that
That's
literally grew up in the 90s,
like, here's the thing.
The Knicks were awesome when you were growing up.
The Lakers part is not really a surprise because the Lakers is such a huge brand, right? Like the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. It's international.
Yeah.
The Timberwolves ain't international.
No.
But Ant is.
But I guess that's the point. Was he before this season? No.
Well, what about when he was in Sandler's movie? What did that change anything? He was in a movie with Adam Sandler. Oh,
no, okay. No kids were wanting to go buy an Ant jersey because they saw him in, what was it, Uncut Gems?
Hustle.
Oh, Hustle. Sorry. I couldn't remember the name.
Kermit, right? His name was Kermit.
Was it Kermit?
I don't know.
You just made that up.
I think I might have made that up.
You just made up. I hope you're actually wrong about that. I'm wrong. I'm going to look up.
You got to check the IMDb and see what his name was.
IMDb.
I got the name wrong. You got the name wrong.
Oh, you're right. His name is Kermit.
Wow, very good.
That was
a big
good movie.
Fan.
I like that movie.
I didn't see that movie.
You didn't like the movie?
It was okay.
I thought Juancho Hernan Gomez was good as Bo Cruz.
It was okay.
Really? You don't?
It was fine. It was fine. Ev, you're getting away from the point.
What's the point exactly?
The point is that you have little kids in New York City that are excited about Anthony Edwards and what he's doing in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I bet you that there are many people listening right now all over the country that have children that are not fans of the local teams, that they're fans of the players.
That blows my mind.
I could open up, well, we have only a minute, but I would say we could open up the
phones. When I was growing up, that wasn't even conceivable. Like, you might love Ken Griffey Jr., but not more than you love the Cardinals or whatever team you cheer for.
Access like you do now. So
but there's a loyalty to your city. There's a loyalty to your community and the laundry.
But Smalls, if you're young Michelle Smallman growing up in St. Louis, even with your dad as a Cardinals fan, you will have access to Ken Griffey Jr.'s Instagram and social media in a way then, if we apply today's technology then, where you'll be able to consume him in the same way you would be able to consume Mark McGwire.
I get your point, Ev, but even in the 90s, man, like, even though you might have been a fan of a different basketball team, every kid loved Michael Jordan.
Love him.
Well, he's different.
But that's what we're saying about Ant.
Like, there's that star level quality to him. Like, listen, I get that nobody wants to compare him to Michael Jordan. Oh, you can't do it. And Jordan is the GOAT, all this. You don't want to talk. But listen, there was a time when Michael Jordan didn't win titles, but everybody acknowledged this guy is special and has a chance to be great. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, we've ever seen. And he actually lived up to that. What they saw from him in the first 3 years, they were like, you know what? This dude is going to be special. First time Jordan won a playoff series, I think, was in his fourth year. What year is this for Anthony Edwards again? Okay, so I guess my whole point is, why can't we talk about this dude through that lens of, hey, he has a special talent, and he's on the verge of figuring out how to win titles, and oh, by the way, on the way to doing it, he would have taken down one of his idols in Kevin Durant, and he's about to be the guy that won 3 MVPs in the last 4 years in Nikola Jokic, who's on the reigning defending champions in the Denver Nuggets. Why can't we talk about it?
Well, I think we are.
No, but why is it a situation where
he's still got to win? That's
where it's taboo to talk about it. Why can't we have these comparisons with early years of Michael Jordan?
Because it's Michael, and it's very uncomfortable for me and a lot of other people to even compare anyone or anything to the career of Michael Jordan. One other quick thing here. Is it appropriate to take like 7 bags of gummy bears from a free event? Because Smalls did you a solid yesterday from this event.
Good teammate.
You took a lot of the gummy
bears. They were small bags.
Took like 7 of them.
For CeCe.
How many did you have? I mean, allegedly.
All of them.
CeCe loves these gummy bears.
Your wife's not listening, right?
No, she might be. It's okay.
They were small
bags. She knows I love Black Forest gummy bears.
Okay.
It's very, very specific.
And these were organic, healthy gummy bears that were delicious. CeCe couldn't make it to the event because he was at the school. And I was like, oh, we got to bring these back for him.
It's brilliant, though, right? If you slap organic on it, it doesn't make it feel as bad.
That's right.
How can a gummy bear be organic?
I don't know.
It's just the word that they use on it.
It's real pure sugar cane. It's organic.
Yeah. Wait, there was like a buffet.
It's not processed sugar. It's pure sugar cane. Yeah.
There was a refreshment area, and Small's just like throwing them into
really
her bag.
Only, like, really, each bag is only a handful.
There's like 5 bears
exactly,
in there.
Exactly. You pop them all in. Like, so
I'm trying to be a good teammate, Evan.
One bag is a bite.
There was the other thing that Small's, because of 75 hard, that she does her workout, there was like a cotton candy thing, and she was dying to get the cotton candy, but she is unbelievably disciplined. I give you a ton of credit.
Real quick.
You did not have it.
CeCe, it was cotton candy infused with alcohol. Who doesn't want to try that? But I can't because my last day is next Friday. So I'm so close to the end.
She is disciplined. Coach Belichick would love her. She does her job. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Sam Rosen in the call. MSG.
Wow. That's pretty good.
That was unbelievable.
That music is pretty good.
Oh,
though.
God. That it is. Every time.
It's not quite the NFL music, but it's pretty damn good.
Oh, I think it's better.
It hits for me.
No. Wait a minute. Ryan Callahan, ESPN NHL analyst, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Chell Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen. We weren't going to start here, but now we have to. Is the ESPN NHL music the best music, entrance music for any sport ever, Ryan?
Best thing. Yeah, it's the best thing going. Thanks for having me on, guys. But I definitely agree with you. Brings back a little piece of childhood, too, right, for a lot of us, just watching those NHL games with Gary Thorne and everything else. And just you hear that music and just brings me right back. So I agree. I think it's the best.
Awesome.
Very unique.
All right, before we get into the Rangers and the Hurricanes and the overtime game, I want to ask you about what happened a couple of nights ago with Florida and the Bruins here. The fight that occurred, Pasta getting involved, I'm fascinated by this because some guys like to fight, other guys don't. There was permission that was received from a head coach. Explain to everybody what happened and the uniqueness around that fight a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it started, you know, obviously both teams are, you know, a bit of scrums and fights before this one actually happened. And it actually started, Panarin and Tkachuk are at the referee circle talking about the previous scrums that happened, and you can see both of them chatting back and forth with each other, exchanging words, and they start skating back to the bench. They continue to start, you know, jabbing with each other, and then you could hear, can't hear, but you can almost see, be like, okay, next time we're on the ice, you know, let's go. And Panarin kind of shakes his head. Then he goes to the bench. He talks to Jim Montgomery, the head coach, and I think more than anything, I don't even know if it's permission. I think he was telling Montgomery, hey, you know, I'm going to fight Tkachuk here next time. I want to be out next shift. Put me out next shift. I'm fighting him. And, you know, Montgomery, I think he just nodded his head. It's like, okay, you know, go do your thing. And I think the uniqueness of it, I mean, obviously you talk about a guy like Tkachuk, he mixes it up. He gets in a couple fights a year maybe. Obviously he puts on a ton of points, very skilled guy, but he's always in the mix. But a guy for like Pasternak, it's unprecedented. And that's what playoff hockey is all about, and that's what it's so cool about hockey playoffs is you got a star player, biggest guy on the team, fills the net with points, but he's willing to go out there in a game that they're losing pretty badly at this point and show his teammates, show everybody in the stands, show everyone that, you know what, he's not giving up. He's still fighting. You know, that fire's still there. So it's great. It kind of reminded me, I mean, way back when, you guys will probably remember, Jerome Iginla and Vincent LeCavalier in the finals when they went at it the one time when Tampa Bay was playing Calgary. So it's playoff hockey. That's what it's about.
It was great, Ryan. But do you think that fight will have any impact throughout the series? Do you think those feelings that happened at the end of that game will carry over?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, specifically that fight, I don't know if there's any carryover with those two players. I think it's, you know, that's done with now. But I think it just raises the temperature of the series. You know, a lot of times you'll see in game like kind of 3, 4, maybe 5, takes a little bit for that temperature to rise, but with the series they had last year that went 7, where Florida came back, one game 7 to knock, you know, the record-setting Boston Bruins out of the playoffs in the first round, I think that's where this rivalry originally started, right? You get rivalries by playing playoff hockey against each other, so that boiled over right into the start of this series. Obviously, last game, a lot of fireworks, so I see a lot of emotions going to the next game. It's going to be physical. Both these teams are very physical teams in the first round. Average hits per game, the top team were the Florida Panthers, and the third top team was the Boston Bruins. So these two teams like to throw the body around, and when you do that, emotions are going to be high. And, yeah, I mean, I think we're in for an exciting one down the stretch here with these two teams.
Ryan, the Leafs fire Coach Keith after yet another early exit from the playoffs and in a year where Auston Matthews had 69 goals. What's next for Toronto, and what's the type of coach that they should be looking for in order to move their program forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at that team, and they obviously have so much talent, so much skill, have unbelievable regular seasons, you know, but come up short in the playoffs, and that's when you have to perform. That's when you have to pay the bills, and I think that obviously has to do with why Sheldon Keefe was shown the exit. It's not that he's not a good coach or doesn't know how to coach, but you have to have playoff success, and especially with a talented team like that you have with that much regular season success. So, you know, it didn't surprise me that they looked to move elsewhere to try to get over that hump in the playoffs, and I think there's still going to be some roster moves made, so I don't think – you know, and maybe one of those top four guys. I know there's a lot of noise around Mitch Marner. Is he going to be moved? You know, do they need to shake things up? And, you know, and as you said, looking ahead as a new coach who comes in there, I know there's a ton of chatter around Craig Berube, who's a guy that would hold guys accountable. He's a very demanding coach. I know guys in St. Louis who won a cup there, loved him there, but he's kind of no BS type of guy where he's going to hold you accountable, and you have to play hard for him. You have to play the right way for him. So I think he'd be a great fit there. But I know there's a lot of other vacancies that New Jersey is one of them that is going after Berube as well. So it'll be interesting to see. And also there's that conversation of Joel Quenneville. Does he get back in the league? Everybody knows his history with the Blackhawks, the success he's had, a veteran coach. He could go in there with a veteran team like that and, you know, maybe push the right buttons to get him over that hump.
We're talking with Ryan Callahan, ESPN NHL analyst here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Your former team, New York Rangers, 7-0 in the playoffs so far. How many losses will they have in the postseason?
Say that again? The end there? Sorry, you cut out on me.
How many losses are we looking at the Rangers actually having in the postseason here?
Well, if you ask some Ranger fans, I think it's going to be 16-0, right, after this, this start. But, listen, any of these games against Carolina could have gone either way, right? This is a very close series. It's not a 3-0, you know, blowout three games. But with saying that, it's the Rangers have found ways to win games. So they looked really good at home. And then last night, you look at that game, you knew Carolina being down 2-0 in the series was going to come out firing. You know, everything they had, they knew that their backs were against the wall, and you go down 3-0. That's a steep hill to climb, especially against a Rangers team. And the Rangers found a way to hold on to that first period. Shesterkin was a huge part of that, and that's why goaltending is so important in the postseason. Shesterkin, obviously, one of the best in the league, and I was just impressed with the resilience. You know, they hold on to that first period. They end up getting a shorthanded goal from Kreider there, who's been unbelievable for them for so many years. And, you know, they give up that goal late. It's whatever it is, a minute and a half left or so, and maybe over 2 minutes with Carolina scores to tie it up. And that's a point, too, where you could see a team bend a little bit, right? They maybe break. You know, emotions are high. You're about to go up 3-0 in a series. You're on the road, playing a great road game so far. All of a sudden, the game's tied up, and you're going to overtime. All the momentum's on Carolina's side heading into that overtime. And then, sure enough, 2 minutes into overtime, it's Panarin who buries it, and they find a way to win that game and come up with a huge win. So I've been very impressed with New York. They're battle-tested. They've been through a lot of playoffs together now. That core group they have there, Lafreniere, the way he stepped up this year after, you know, a quiet couple seasons there, but he's a young kid. I knew you had to be patient with him, but there's a lot of noise around him, and he's been unreal this year. He's having a great playoff, big goal last night. So this New York team, it's, there's no reason why they can't win at all, right? You look at who's left, they got as good a shot as anybody.
Ryan, thank you so much for a few minutes. We appreciate it. We'll check in throughout the rest of the NHL playoffs here.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on. Have a good day.
All right, there's Ryan Callahan, of course, former NHL player, was a part of the Rangers. They're 7-0 in the playoffs so far. The Wild fight the other night with Boston and Florida, obviously. Okay, I can't even say Florida without Smalls laughing at me.
Florida. I just smiled.
Florida.
Florida.
Oh, boy. Well, if you're in Florida, you have some green grass. I can make it greener by introducing you to True Green. If you're ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank, True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. I've been telling you guys, all you got to do is mow and water your lawn. They're going to take care of the rest. They're going to treat it. They're going to make it look beautiful for you. Visit TrueGreen.com. That's TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Can you remember the last time you had fun on a bike ride? Lectric e-bikes, the number one seller of e-bikes in America, is here to bring fun and joy back to biking. Their riders routinely say they feel like kids again riding these bikes, and one even said, "I'm a 46-year-old man, and I can honestly say I haven't had this much fun on a bike since I was 10 years old." These e-bikes from Lectric are fast. They're up to 28 miles per hour. They offer lightweight and foldable e-bikes, so you can easily take them on the go to explore national parks, campgrounds, and more. Even if you don't have a truck, trailer, or a bike rack, many of their models will fit in the trunk of a car. They also offer long-range batteries that provide over 65 miles of range, so you can explore further and longer. Just head on over to electricebikes.com today and take their bike quiz to find a model that's perfect for your needs. That's electricebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you here on Sportsmanlike. We are joined now by ESPN NBA analyst Kendrick Perkins, world champion, and a man we have to credit first who shouted out our very own Chris Canty on Twitter. So we do appreciate
my dog.
Big Perk for that.
Big Perk, appreciate you, man.
All right, you know, Perk.
Hey.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, happy Friday to y'all. Y'all keep up the great work. You know, I mean, you just got to give the flowers and flowers a do.
Absolutely. And you've been giving them flowers to big body Brunson, Jalen Brunson. I know he's questionable tonight, but assuming that he's in the lineup, even without OG Anunoby, what's the path for the Indiana for the Knicks to beat the Pacers in game three on the road?
Well, to be honest with you, as long as they have that three-headed monster in the Nova boys, and I'm talking about Dante, big body Brunson, and Josh Hart, the Knicks always have a chance. Let's be real. The way that they play, we know that they're the ultimate competitors. But on top of that, the way that they play the game of basketball, they don't get enough credit for their high IQ, especially in half court. The cutting, right, the movement without the basketball, knowing each other's spots, knowing each other's tendencies, playing off of Isaiah Hartenstein at times. When he, you know, when he's playing in that mid-post area after he catches the ball out of pick and roll. And so when I think about the leadership, not just from Jalen Brunson, but from Dante and Josh Hart, they always have a chance. And the one thing that you have to realize with Tom Thibodeau, I've been in the locker room with this guy, won the championship with him. He's going to make zero excuses, and his guys are always going to go out there and compete. And like he said in the when they interviewed him during the game, and they asked him about OG Anunoby, and he said, "It's our mentality is next man up," and then he walked off. That's what you expect out of the New York Knicks.
Perk, the Celtics lost last night 1-1 in this series. Second straight series they've had 1-1. Obviously, they finished off Miami in five. I've said it all year long. I feel like there is a piece missing with the Celtics team, and the piece is griminess. I know that's not to be defined by a certain person, but that's what I feel. I do not feel like they are going to win the championship as a result. Am I nuts on this?
No, you're absolutely right. And look, Jason Tatum said something last night, and it made my damn skin crawl. After the game, people expect us to win every game, expect us to win by 25. No, that's not true. But we don't expect you to lose home games, especially in the home court where you work so hard in the regular season this year to have a presence that no one should feel comfortable coming into your house, kicking their feet up on the table. And all playoffs, I've been waiting to scream Jason Tatum name, like we've been doing Jalen Brunson, like we've been doing Anthony Edwards, like we've been doing Tyrese Maxey, like we've been doing Luka and Kyrie, and he haven't given us that moment. And my question is why, right? Are we asking him to be something that he's not? We know that he's one of the most elite offensive players in the game. But at some point, I want to see that dog in him. And maybe he just don't have it. I don't know. I mean, again, he's the one that's been saying he didn't care about any regular season awards or care about anything that happened in the regular season. He was waiting on this moment. Well, the moment is here. And we're waiting on him to actually arrive.
Perk, a guy who unquestionably has that dog in him is Anthony Edwards. He's made the Denver Nuggets look vulnerable, which when's the last time we could say that about Jokic and the Nuggets? But with that being said, do you think we have a response from Denver coming, or do you think Minnesota takes this series?
Oh, Minnesota takes this series. Again, when Anthony Edwards speak, I believe him because he has shown me time and time again that I could trust his word. And so when Anthony Edwards, after they won game two, that he said, oh, I know Denver is going to come into our house in game three and give us their best punch. And then he followed up by saying, but we punch back. And right there I was like, oh, this man means business. And I understand he's 22 years old, but his mindset is to win an NBA championship. Every night he steps on the floor, he believes that he's the best player on the floor. He gives his team a certain level of confidence that I haven't seen in a long time. And when you look at this Minnesota team, they're arguably the deepest team in the league. I don't know what the Nuggets could do to get back on track. Jokic is way out of sync right now. He's shooting 42% from the field. I think he's, a negative 38 or something to that nature right now. When have we ever known Jokic to have those type of numbers?
Never.
And Jamal Murray, he is like Jay McDaniels is not going anywhere, right? He's still going to be on the floor. So I don't know if Jamal Murray is going to be able to, pick it up and get back to the Jamal Murray that we all grown to love. But, you know, you just look at the Nuggets and losing Bruce Brown and Jeff Green. You know, I said this, you know, throughout the whole course of the season, I was wondering how their bench was going to pick up the slack. But Minnesota got this.
We're talking with Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst here on Unsportsmanlike with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Perk, what's more of an attractive job right now, coaching LeBron or coaching Durant?
Neither. Neither. Neither one of them. And I hate to say it, man, but it's just, if you coach LeBron, what coach are you going to bring in, right? Like, he always feel like, you know, he's the smartest man in the room. So all the coaching candidates that would fit for the Lakers, you know, they're in their own places right now. When you think about Jason Kidd, the Clippers are not letting Ty Lue go. So it's like, when it comes down to LeBron, you just got to deal with so much. Kevin Durant, right? Frank Vogel gone. Since he's been in Phoenix, two head coaches fired already, right? He never got on the same page with Frank Vogel. He's drowned Frank Vogel out for the last 3 months, didn't listen to him, didn't talk to nobody. I mean, I don't know what these guys want. You know, at the end of the day, man, the level of accountability around the league, especially with the quote-unquote OGs, it's just not there. And at the end of the day, you know, I know it's going to be some nice money on the table, especially when it comes to the Phoenix Suns, but neither one of those jobs are attractive, especially if you're a coach that have some experience and championship experience.
Perk, I want to ask you about the other series in the Western Conference. The Mavs tied it up 1-1 after their Game 2 win against OKC. And I'm curious from your perspective, if you do believe that the Minnesota Timberwolves are getting to the conference finals, which one of those two teams poses a bigger threat to Minnesota, and how much of a threat is it actually?
Neither. And I say that with all due respect, but that defense that we saw in Game 2 and the defense that we've been witnessing out of the Minnesota Timberwolves, that's real. In Game 2, that was one of the greatest defensive performances I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I've been part of some great defensive teams. I mean, when you talk about some starving Wolves, they are that. And right now, Anthony Edwards has a key in Karl-Anthony Towns back that I've never seen, right? His confidence level is high. And again, there's no knock on SGA and what the Dundee have done and how good they are, or Luka and Kyrie and the Dallas Mavericks and how good they are. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, to be honest, right now, I'm leaning towards them winning the NBA championship.
So then, based on everything you've said about Boston, we know about the health in the rest of the Eastern Conference. The fact that Minnesota, we have obviously advancing past Denver and obviously OKC, you just mentioned. Are you, Perk, looking at it as championship or bust right now for the Minnesota Timberwolves?
I wouldn't say championship or bust because I believe that they still have, you know, they still have time. I believe they have another year to make a run at it, and they just caught us by surprise. I thought they were good enough to make it to the conference finals, but now I'm saying they're good enough to win the NBA championship. The team that has the championship or bust target on their back is the Boston Celtics, right? This is a team where you're talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They've been to multiple conference finals together, NBA finals. They made the necessary moves. Brad Stevens has done a great job for us putting the necessary pieces around them. They traded away Marcus Smart. They brought in Kristaps Porzingis. They added Jrue Holiday. All season long, people have been saying this team has the best starting five in basketball, right? It's time for this team to complete the mission. They're the only team that's in the playoffs right now that has the target on their back of being of either championship or bust. There's nothing else in the middle.
Perk, thank you so much for a few minutes. Thank you for the public support of CC and our show. We do appreciate it, and we'll watch you today. NBA Today, of course, NBA Countdown, all throughout SportsCenter, et cetera. We appreciate it, Perk.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a great day.
There is Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst. Of course, played 14 years, won a title with the Boston Celtics, and put his franchise that he played for the majority of his career as the only championship or bust team this postseason, and does not think they're going to win a championship, and thus, look out, because the offseason then will revolve around the Boston Celtics and what they do.
It's Ant-Man and Minnesota Timberwolves world, and the rest of those teams in the playoffs are just living in it. That's where we're at right now.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
All right, our best bet of the night went bust last night because OKC lost. I had them on the money line to the Dallas Mavericks. Of course, the Mavericks took care of their business. Luka on one leg, just absolutely phenomenal last night. Donovan Mitchell did go over 25.5, so we were 1-for-2. But tonight, we're going to get back on the horse, two-leg parlay. We're going to roll with the Indiana Pacers. The line on this game is the Pacers laying 7.5. We're going to tease that down to 3.5, and we're going to pair that on a two-leg parlay with Jalen Brunson under 36.5 points. He's questionable with that foot. I'm going to take the under on that one. Even though he's been a volume scorer throughout the postseason, I think this is the night where he takes a little bit of dip. No OG on the floor allows the Pacers to key in on him just a little bit more. So Brunson under 36.5 points, and then the Pacers to win by more than 3.5, that pays out at plus 117.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, so we have some unsportsmanlike moments. The first one, sorry, Nuno, our producer. Smalls, can you tell everybody what happened off the air when Kendrick Perkins called and Nuno talked to him?
Yeah, we were privy to eavesdrop on Nuno's introductory conversation with Kendrick Perkins as he called in to join the show. Nuno said, oh, thank you for joining the show. And as a Knicks fan, I just want to thank you for your support of Brunson and the team.
Came off in a way of like,
what? He said, hey, you know, like,
a little pathetic.
Want to have a conversation? All right, Owen, relax.
Well played.
Go ahead, explain yourself, and then Pat, please go to work on him.
Pat left. I don't know where he went. Wonderful. No, but it was just like, hey, how you doing? You know, it was just a quick conversation. Perk has been the only media guy or media person that is constantly defended the Knicks, whether it's been on Countdown, Get Up, First Take, you know, NBA Today, whatever the platform, Twitter. So he's been riding with the Knicks the whole year. And so we have to show love to the people that, you know, we respect.
I didn't know the Knicks needed defending, though.
I mean, did you hear your show yesterday? Jeez.
Are you not part of the show?
I did. Hold on. How did we disrespect the Knicks?
You know, this is Thibodeau's fault, all that stuff.
We're talking about the injuries
the
that they're dealing
like
with.
Half the team's
dead. MASH unit, what are you talking about?
Hey, wait a minute. Wasn't the greatest, one of the greatest scenes in Hoosiers when it was 5-on-4? That's my team? Like, that's what
Tibbs is. Not injury-based. That was based on him not wanting to put players out there.
Well, Tibbs doesn't want to put players out there either.
Don't compare Normandale to Tom Thibodeau.
He might go 5-on-4 today. Like, coach, you need another one. No, we're good.
Yeah, but there was no shot clock.
Oh, wait, Pat's back. Pat, how embarrassing was Nuno to Perkins before the interview?
That's why I left. I couldn't even be in here. It was just like, I don't know what he was doing. He was losing his marbles yesterday. Now he's pretending like he's best friends with Perk. I don't know what's going on back there.
It's an emotional time for Knicks fans, okay?
Very emotional time.
This series has been very dramatic. The pendulum has swung back and forth. They've waited a long time for this.
Yeah.
Emotions are running high.
Yeah, please respect their privacy at this time.
All right, my second unsportsmanlike moment
is
an audio moment that I cannot play for everyone here on our show.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to play it, and I'm going to do this in a way that is healthy, hopefully. If you are not at work and not around children, go ahead and search on the internet Luka Doncic's post-game press conference last night. Because out of nowhere, there were sounds that are not appropriate to play on the radio at his press conference. I'm going to do it this way. Do you think those were real sounds or fake sounds that were occurring?
Oh, they were real sounds, but I think the
audio or in person?
Audio.
I think it was audio.
Someone's Bluetooth, I think, was accidentally connected to the speakers. And they were searching things and watching things that are not safe for work.
Okay.
How about that?
That's fair.
Yeah.
I couldn't avoid that for an unsportsmanlike moment. I could avoid playing it, though. I tell you that much. Very not appropriate. Very unsportsmanlike.
And Luka's face,
you're there to do a job and cover the playoffs.
Face.
And that's what you got connected to the Bluetooth?
It was an enjoyable night.
Hey now. Okay, next one.
Okay.
Amber
How
Ian.
Do you respond? Okay, you know what, though? All credit to Luka Doncic for powering through in that moment. He tried to power. Wow. You see where you took it?
I didn't say a word.
Stop being a child.
I didn't say
Your
one
facial
single...
expression.
Yeah.
This is how I was born like
all
this.
All the talking.
If you were there, if it was your post-game press conference, could you have not had a hey-o or something?
Yeah, exactly. It would have had to be something. I would have had to acknowledge it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Luka just tried to remain professional and power
he
straight
through it.
He kind
of put his head down.
I give him all the credit in the world for being able to do that. More credit than playing on one leg, him powering through the post-game press conference.
Again, for adults, you know, when you're by yourself, you can listen to that press conference with Luka and watch it. That's it. I will leave it that way. Next one. So, you know, Terrion Arnold is a defensive back. Alabama was drafted.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the
drafted
show, Terrion
by the
Arnold.
Lions, came in studio with
Best
us.
Best dressed at the draft, Terrion Arnold.
Yes.
And he made a reference to the fact that the Raiders on draft night literally flipped a coin to decide who they were going to draft between Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, and Terrion Arnold. Well, Tom Telesco is the general manager of the Raiders. He was on Amber and Ian here on ESPN Radio, 7 p. to 10 p. Eastern, and gave his reaction to the Bowers-Arnold coin flip story.
That I typically use a magic eight ball in that situation rather than a coin is my first thought. But, yeah, that was pretty interesting. Considering I just told you the story that we had gone through that scenario 2 weeks before. So I don't know where that came from.
Coach was laughing a lot there. Man, Ian found that very funny.
Coach loved it.
Yeah. Do we think that there's any chance that any team ever does something like that at the draft where they literally flip a coin between the two?
I mean, crazier things have happened, but I don't know if I would
seventh round pick or something.
Leave my franchise's future up to fate to a coin flip.
But it's all a crapshoot.
It really is.
So you're saying the literal is actually the figurative.
It's as good a formula as any.
You're kind of right.
Flip a coin.
Especially with quarterbacks.
I mean, 50% of the first round draft picks are going to go bust anyway. So, I mean,
that is an interesting way of looking at it. The literal coin flip is not actually that much different than the figurative of flipping a coin because you don't know.
Yeah.
There's no certainty on any of this.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting that all of your former teammates...
I think the coin is better than the magic 8-ball. So even when Tom Telesco suggests something ridiculous, he'll find a way to one-up and find the avenue where it's even worse.
You have many former teammates of yours, college and pro, that are littered across the NFL in front offices. Are you suggesting they flip coins moving forward? Like you're not suggesting
like
it.
Like I said, it's as good a chance as any of being right.
We are Greeny is coming up next. We are on to Monday. Happy Mother's Day for those who celebrate this weekend. Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.